Welcome to MBA Podcaster, the only broadcast source for cutting-edge information and advice on the MBA application process. I'm Heidi Pickman. You've decided to apply to business school. Planning and getting through the application process can be a daunting task. Where should you start? How should you map out the next year so that everything gets done and gets done well? Like when to take the GMAT, when to make your list of schools, when should you actually fill out the application? This MBA Podcaster show is titled MBA Timeline, What to Do and When Should You Do It. In this podcast, admissions consultants and students give you solid advice on when to start your MBA application process. Some of the issues they'll address include research, how and when to tackle the application and school visits, and they will help you plan your candidacy from 2 years, 1 year, and 6 months before you apply. Yes, possibly 2 years in advance, but you could start 6 months out if
you have a great career path, you have lots of extracurriculars, you know, you're a leader in work and outside of work, and you say, okay, yeah, I'm ready to go to business school, and I have like a 3.6 from Princeton or something, and I'm sure I'll get an 800 on my GMAT. Since most people don't fall into that category, any one of those moving parts can be worked on.
That's Betsy Masser. She is the founder and CEO of Master Admissions, a consulting firm that advises people on how to get into MBA programs. The Princeton application is the exception to the rule. So if you're not that person, when to start? Graham Richman is the CEO of ClearAdmit.
Clearly, it's never too early to start thinking about it. We get clients who are in college and thinking about business school already and trying to plan long term.
Why is an undergraduate? Because academic performance is one of the key data points that admissions officers consider. I recently spoke with Richard Battle Baxter, who currently works for Bloomingdale's.com, doing search engine marketing and is applying for his MBA for the 2011 fall semester.
Because I wasn't thinking about it, the end point for me when I was in school was just thinking about, okay, I just need to graduate. But in hindsight, I would have, done better in my classes, knowing that my transcript would have counted for something after college. So now that's one of the hurdles that I'm facing right now is, you know, making sure that I'm taking classes now and trying to do everything that I can so that my undergraduate GPA isn't one of the, isn't what, I guess, gets me rejected from any school.
The answer on exactly when to start your application process depends on your strengths and weaknesses. The earlier you prepare, the more time you will have to address weaknesses in your application, such as a low undergraduate GPA, little work experience, or a low GMAT score, and fully highlight all your strengths, your unique character, and why you should be admitted. Here's Masser.
I always say mind the gap. If you're not the perfect candidate, you take inventory, figure out where the gaps are, and see where you can legitimately fill in the gap. If one of the ways that you want to fill in the gap is through an alternative transcript, research and sign up for the courses that you think will be helpful to you. It's important when you take those courses that you do well, for example, get A's, because that will show anyone, including yourself, that you actually can do the work. If you just get a flat B or something, that's okay. But you really want to excel. So when you take the course, you want to be able to take the time to study for the course. In which case, I would say start thinking about it a couple of years in advance so that you can find the course that works for you, for example, a business statistics class or more than just one class, because you want to show you have some pattern of being able to go back to school and excel in quantitative fields.
Chris Smith, which is not his real name because of the sensitive nature of his work, is applying for his executive MBA degree at UCLA. He's been thinking about it for 10 years, but his career was going well, he kept advancing, and he had a family.
I had explored with my company their appetite for me getting a fully employed MBA, you know, when I was a younger consultant, and at the time did not have a program for that and told me that they would consider it, but that it wasn't a guarantee, and ultimately I was told that it would not happen for me, and I needed to stay employed, and I had a good career path, so I made a decision at that point in time to continue working versus getting my MBA.
And in the meanwhile, Smith was building a resume that showed career progression and increased responsibilities. But what if you don't have 10 years under your belt and you haven't had many leadership opportunities? Here's Masser.
A lot of people feel like they're kind of ready to show excellence, but they haven't been able to do it. So it may take you another year to get some more experience under your belt, even to switch into a job or industry that's a little bit closer to what you think you're capable of doing before going to business school. So all of this argues for start as early as you can, and also if you have the luxury of taking a couple of years in advance to plan it out, then your options will always be greater.
Besides being an admissions consultant, Masser was successfully admitted to and graduated from Harvard with an MBA. She had a 3-year application process because her gap that she minded is taking the GMAT.
The other thing is not everybody's the best test taker, and it takes a long time to prepare for those tests. Some people can do it fast, but not everybody can do it, and not everybody understands how to take the test. And in my personal case, it took me 2 years to figure out how to take the test. And eventually it worked out for me because I got over the 93rd percentile, so that works. Because there's so much information, you need to break it down into very, very small chunks and feel like you can master it.
The other thing to remember about the GMAT is that your score is good for 5 years, and it bears repeating. The earlier, the better. If you have a gap, don't be discouraged. Take a couple of years to close that gap, whether it be an alternative transcript to boost a low undergraduate GPA, work on the GMAT, or gain more work experience and career progress. Networking is another activity you can do as soon as the business school light bulb goes on. Talk to everyone you know and even those you don't. Here's Battle Baxter, a real-life applicant who is very entrepreneurial about his networking.
So the first thing that I did when I decided to go to business school was try to find people in my immediate network who had been. For me, there wasn't anybody. Once I realized that I wouldn't be able to reach out directly to certain people, I figured that, okay, now I need to research online and, you know, try to connect with anybody that way. Something for me that I'm really good at, I guess, is networking online. I mean, I've made many friends. I guess that was just a natural step for me. And I found a couple websites, and I was able to start messaging certain people. I guess the first step for me was just trying to look for anybody that could give me any insight into what I was about to tackle.
Who better to give info than an insider? They can give you valuable information that you're not going to find in the marketing videos about the school and be a resource. But networking takes time, so Battle Baxter says the earlier you can begin this process, the better, because the more information you'll have.
My advice would be to start the process early. Even if it's attending MBA fairs and admissions events, or even just having coffee or lunch with a current student at a school that you're interested in. And one of the reasons why I think it's important is because you'll get to hone in on your story. You'll be able to see people's reactions when you say, I want to round out my background. Because they may come back and say, well, what do you mean? And take that one step further. And even though you're not in an interview, you'll start to see what works, and you'll hear yourself say it over and over again.
From 2 years before applications are due to 1 year out, maybe you've taken a class, received an A, and you've been talking to as many people as you can and forming relationships. You've been filling in your gaps. What do you start doing 1 year before applications are due? Graham Richmond from ClearAdmit says determine your short-term and long-term career plans and then research.
So it's a means to an end, and so they should think about what are their career plans? What would that ideal job be kind of post-MBA? And once they figured that out, you know, if they know they want to be a banker or a consultant or an entrepreneur, once they've done that, they can then do sort of conduct school research and identify schools that are going to be well-suited to their achievement of that goal. And I think many candidates sort of omit this step. You know, they just say, well, I want to go to business school, and they sort of use that as, you know, the business school itself is the goal, but that's not really the case. I mean, so you should be thinking about your career plan, what makes sense for you, and then conducting research, you know, kind of grading the schools in that discipline or that area.
A good rule of thumb is to identify one dream school, 2 to 3 realistic schools, and one safety school to apply to.
So my list is not finalized. I have a long list, let's say, of about 6 schools, but I also have a short list. And the short list actually contains one school because that's the school that I'm going to be applying to early. I would say that I've stopped adding schools to my list probably a couple weeks ago. I've done so much research that I have a pretty good grasp on which schools I believe that I fit with. But if I realize that they're not a fit for me, then I'm just not going to apply. It's not that I'm going to then add another school because, like I said, I've done so much research that there's only a handful of schools that have the curriculum and the extracurriculars that I'm looking for. So,
Richmond says, once you have your schools, it's time to visit.
So an ideal timeline would be, you know, in March you start thinking about it. Perhaps you go to visit some schools while they're still in session, which is great. Get a campus feel and sort of be able to figure out which schools are highest on your list.
And Masser has some tips about the school visit.
You want to make sure that you can schedule a long weekend so that you can visit some classes. Again, there's nothing like sitting in on a class. It'll give you the flavor of the kind of student and the kind of teaching method. If you've never sat in on a case study, wow, you got to do it. And UVA has full case study, and of course Harvard, we know, has case study. Many other schools have case studies, and if you request that you want to go to a school, ask, can I sit in on a case method course, or can I sit in on an interactive course? Otherwise, sit in on a class with a professor or an area of study that you think may appeal to you if you can do it.
Chris Smith sat in some executive MBA courses at UCLA.
And I really liked the learning environment of the executive MBA program. It's comprised of people who were further along in their career whose profile matched mine in terms of, you know, years of experience and intellectual curiosity. I liked the interactive learning environment and getting exposed to material and concepts that I don't get exposed to in my day-to-day work life.
And the visit is uber important for determining the fit because it's where you're going to live for 2 years and you want to make sure it's somewhere that you'll be happy living. That includes the professional concerns of Smith as well as personal concerns. Here's Battle Baxter.
Being a gay applicant, I really needed to research the LGBT communities at each of these schools. That's something that I spend a lot of time trying to figure out, and the information isn't necessarily readily available on all of the websites, so that's one of the things that I really reached out to the club president and different students because it was of high importance to me. Especially coming from New York City, and some of these schools are away from major metropolitan areas.
Battle Baxter started a blog on January 1, the year he was applying, so that he could document everything that he did.
When I would go and visit schools, you know, I would come back home and, you know, immediately write the debrief from the school, calling out people that I met, classes that I sat in on. It was really helpful for me to begin to write about my experience in my GMAT class. I know that when it comes time to write essays next month, I'll be able to drum up those feelings from when I was talking to somebody from a certain school, or I reached out to somebody, or I visited, and it'll just make it easier for me.
Other activities to undertake during the 1 year to 6 months prior to deadline day include figuring out how you're going to pay up to the six-figure tuition and living costs, interviewing a consultant if you're going to use one, as well as researching and interviewing GMAT providers and teachers. There are a lot of options, and you want to engage with a program that works for you, whether it's online, one-on-one, or you just need verbal help. So what about the GMAT?
Most candidates should think about taking the test twice, or at least budget time for that, because many folks find that they improve their score the second time round, and the schools are open to candidates who take the test more than once. So that's something you should leave time for, probably once in the early summer, once in the late summer.
Battle Baxter was a little ahead of Richmond's schedule and took the exam in May and is planning to retake it in August.
I would advise anybody who just thinks that they want to apply to business school, get the GMAT over with as soon as possible.
Chris Smith, the other applicant, still hasn't taken the GMAT and might have to postpone his candidacy.
It's something that if I had to do it over again, I would have committed more time and effort to preparing for the GMAT because I started late and came to the conclusion that the amount of study that I would have to do to score the way I would want to score on the GMAT would require me to commit, you know, time that I didn't have and focus that I didn't have, probably more than time. I wouldn't recommend to anyone putting it off. I would say, you know, once you make the decision, even if you think it's a 50% chance, that you should go ahead and do an early evaluation of your strengths and weaknesses to prepare for the GMAT. take some sample tests, which I didn't do until recently. You know, then, you know, do focused study.
So at 5 to 6 months out, you will have wanted to have at least a first crack at the GMAT. I'll underscore the at least. The risk of sounding like a broken record, the earlier, the better. With the GMAT, it's good for 5 years. After the GMAT, it's time to start with the actual application. Don't forget about your resume, says Richman.
So you need to make sure that your resume is appropriately sort of positioned for the MBA admissions process. And so writing the resume and drafting a goal statement is a great way to get started on the application process, but also to think about your positioning, you know, who you are. Obviously, the one-page resume is a great way. It sort of forces you to distill your candidacy into a single page. And when you see it on paper, you can then begin to say, okay, well, these are the themes that are here. You know, that can then be applied as you start to approach the largest task, which are writing all of these essays that each school requires.
And ideally, drafts of those essays should begin 4 to 6 months out so that in the last month, you're soliciting feedback and refining the drafts. Closer to the deadline, but with plenty of time to spare, say 2 or 3 months out, you should be ordering your transcripts. And if you haven't contacted your potential recommenders during your networking activities, then Richman says that about 2 months out is the latest that you want to start to approach them.
First thing you would do is make a list of everyone you could possibly think of that could write letters for you, and then narrow that list down to the 2 or 3 you're going to need for the process. Giving recommenders a heads up and at least a month's lead time is very important because they're busy and the recommendations are the letters are quite demanding. I mean, each school has a slightly different letter. They all ask at least 5 to 10 questions. And so identifying and getting your recommenders on board, letting them know that this is coming is important. And so you've got to do that. It's vital. You do not want to approach your recommenders a week before the deadline. It won't work out well for anyone.
Smith tells of his process during the 6 months prior to the due date, and it serves as a good checklist for the nuts and bolts of the actual application.
First thing I did was I went online and I looked at the application process. I contacted the admissions coordinator to talk to them about schedule of completing the application. And for an executive MBA, they're pretty flexible. I then had to get the list of people who I wanted to give recommendations together and get notices out to them that I'd like to get a recommendation from them. I went online and filled out the application, which asked me, you know, various questions about why I wanted to take the MBA. I had to fill out personal essays that were on me and my goals and how I'm going to benefit from the MBA and why I would be a good candidate were other, you know, essays that I had to write as part of the application. And then filling out the questionnaires that you have to fill out as part of the application process, and then getting transcripts from other universities that I've attended and UCLA and having those submitted to the business school.
Once everything's been stuffed in the envelope, literally or figuratively, and you think you're done, you're not. Richman says there's still a lot to do.
For better or for worse, it doesn't really end when you submit the application, and that's because most schools have interviews that take place after you've applied. The majority of schools operate in a kind of interview by invitation mode, so you will want to budget some time to go to interviews and also to prepare for those interviews. And they'll usually take place in November if you've applied in October. So that's something to keep in mind. The other thing is that some people don't have time in the spring to go visit their target MBA programs. And so, you know, many will try to visit shortly after application or perhaps combine their visit with the interview invitation. So it doesn't really end there. You know, there's a lot to keep somebody busy after they've submitted, just in terms of, you know, ideally they're invited to interview and have to prepare for that. And continuing to kind of engage with the MBA community, talking to students, maybe professors, and just continuing to learn more about the schools, but also to position themselves and gain, sort of have touch points with the programs. So it's really a timeline that, you know, can extend well into the fall. And as you know, decisions are issued, depending on the school, in kind of December or January, if you've applied in the first round. So you're going to be busy, you know, all the way through.
The main thing to remember is to start early, write out a calendar, and download MBA Podcaster's step-by-step guide to getting into business school from our website. This is MBA Podcaster. I'm Heidi Pickman. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in next time when we explore another topic of interest in your quest for an MBA.